And then I got another one after this, too.
All right, hey, y'all. It's 5 o'clock on Monday night. You may hear this after the last Justin Brian Augie episode, or we may save it for when we need it down the road in a pinch. But we are rogue. Nobody's babysitting us. We are sitting in a dark summer thunderstorm, rainy barcade Jersey City.
Oh, it is glorious.
It is pretty awesome. We are drinking Jersey City's like dog food. It makes gravy when you add water. What's up, Cass? we're on the second show of the day, which is always where we're lucid and a little more giggly. And I say silly things like makes gravy when you add your own water. And we have a black beer in the beer in the black glass, as brought by Justin Kennedy from his cellar. Brian and I are blind, and we're just bullshitting, catching up, and making sure you guys that want to hear us babble about beer for 40 minutes of your commute have that ability. We've just been dabbling. I put out a tweet and said, "What do you want us to talk about?" And we responded to a Facebook picture and said, "What do you want us to talk about?" And people wrote in, so we're going to read what they said. And we are going to talk about it. So
you want to start with that?
I'm going to start with a tweet.
Okay.
So we got... hold on. I don't really understand Twitter. All right. So Bill Malloy. Hello, Bill. At Sympathy Bill. Said, how true is the guest to the Reinskitboot? We're guestless, which is funny. So let me preface this. He's being funny. Because what I tweeted was, we are going MOG. It's German. It's a German abbreviation for mit out guest. So my joke was, we didn't have a guest. Anything you'd like us to beat into the ground? And the response was, how true is the guest to Reinskitboot? So German. So let's beat Reinskitboot into the ground. As far as I know, Reinskitboot's 100% bullshit.
In what way?
It's a tax law.
I think it's distorted here.
Well, here's the thing. I think Sam Adams distorted it, which is the funniest part of what I think. Now, you know it's Augie, often wrong, always confident. Almost everything I'm going to say could be disproven. So if what I'm saying isn't true, send us all the appropriate research to make me wrong at stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, we forgot to do that last episode.
All right. Well, they know how to reach us. We're at Steal This Beer on all social media, and we're coming to you from Barcade.
It's 2016. Google it.
Google that shit, yo. But here's the thing. So there are no real purity laws, right? There was a Bavarian...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
people need to eat wheat, so we've got to get wheat out of beer. Let's make the rule they can only use barley for beer because barley doesn't make good food. However, even at the time, the Kaiser or whoever runs Bavaria in the 1500s was the only guy allowed to make wheat beers, and he sold them to his people at a giant profit because they were the only wheat beers in Bavaria. So it's not a purity thing. They weren't saying beers made with anything other than these four ingredients are dirty. They were saying, we got to save wheat for bread.
Right.
So let's set up a set of rules that makes wheat not a beer ingredient, except as a luxury product produced by the king.
And when you say beer ingredient, it's also almost a semantics thing in that you can call something an ale or a Weizenbock or, you know, something else. You just can't call it beer, which is what I think a lot of people get confused on, especially in the States.
Yeah, but
it's not that they can't make beer with other shit in it. They make gozes with coriander and salt.
But So then you get to the point where marketing is marketing, beer is beer, and nobody gives a shit, and anybody's looking for anything to do. So Budweiser, who uses beechwood in their brewing because beechwood is, one, fantastic to encourage flocculation of yeast because it's so porous, and two, it's the most flavor-neutral wood there is. So they literally went out of their way years ago to find a wood that added no flavor to beer but gave yeast a flocculation point, started using that in their fermentation tanks, and then...
What does flocculation point
flocculation
mean?
Is yeast falling out of beer.
Okay.
And it'll attach itself to things so that it stays from going back
into
suspension.
Oh, it's like a... I see. Okay.
So it beach would attract flocculation.
It's like when you're making a broth, you have the protein raft that's...
Exactly. Yeah. And you oh, nice lightning.
Yep.
So basically, so then some marketer goes, oh, well, that's a thing no one will understand. We'll call it beechwood aged, make that special, and people will pay for that. Well, some German company said, Reheitsgebot is a purity law, and we've got a purity law so you can trust our beer, so our beers are worth more than the other guy's plain adjunct lagers or non-adjunct lagers, right? So it was a pick in a market war over similar flavors. And then Sam Adams, to give himself credibility as an all-malt
the brewery,
product.
Not the person.
Not the person. Sam Adams, Boston Beer Company, Jim Koch, or Koch. I think he says Coke Koch.
Cook. Yeah.
All right. So he said to kind of pick on the rice and other adjuncts in the big beers without saying that. Said, by the way, Sam Adams is only a four-ingredient beer. We follow the German Reheitsgebot, which I think in the craft market gave it a credibility I don't know that it deserves. So not that you shouldn't make four-ingredient beers. I make a bunch of four-ingredient beers. I think everybody does. I think there's a lot to be respected. I think there's a lot more art in getting the amount of flavors you can get in a four-ingredient beer than adding flavor. We've all heard me bitch about putting coffee in a stout. But yeah, it's...
But you're saying they shouldn't be
I'm saying Reheitsgebot is... You can make the world's shittiest beer and still be fond of the Reheitsgebot.
Right, right.
And it doesn't mean anything. It was a tax law to prevent starvation in feudal Germany.
Right, right. It's 500 years ago.
Believing it matters is believing... You know, even we went to... It's Volksbier. Is a true German brewery that makes wonderful beers and makes German style beers and probably follows Reheitsgebot in every beer he
makes
or most beers he makes. But when we said, do you follow Reheitsgebot? He goes, eh. You know what I mean? Like it's not a real thing unless you're marketing a beer and you're a marketing ad person that doesn't speak beer. All right. Let's let that lead us into the black glass.
Oh, yeah, we got a beer in the glass, which I poured.
We poured a beer in the last episode. If you were listening, you heard it get poured, but you heard us call off. This is third in a series from the...
Kennedy Cellar.
It's tangerines, right? It's all tangerines.
I was going to say some flowers. I don't know. I'm getting very floral flavor from this.
I've got an IPA,
though.
I've got almost that, like, boat beer grapefruitiness, but in an orange way.
Yeah, I see that.
Pithy, tangerine, tangelo. Nice amount of bitterness to make it the rind, not the fruit. You know what I mean? I'd call it fruity, not juicy. Definitely citrus fruit. Pretty, fun to drink, easy.
Light bitterness.
Not a lot of malt going on. Real bitterness, though. Not bitter. Not a juice bomb.
It's not bitter.
It's pleasant.
Yeah, it's nice. I love drinking it. I like its orange persistence. You know, it's like this little beer we make at the brewery called Beach, which some of you may have had a giant beer version of.
What
which
are you
we
talking
call
about?
All orange everything. Beach is it's.
But like, you make a small version of that?
Yeah, we make an orange version of boat beer.
Really?
That we call Beach.
I've been hanging out at your brewery for the last 6 years or however long it's been, 5 years. I've never had this beer.
Well,
I've been there a few times. I've never heard
of this beer
until
today.
Just go to my tap. Just go to my tap in the brewery. It's on right now. Have you ever had this town?
I'm going, yes.
Okay, don't yell at
yes,
me. There's all town. Kinds of beers we make that we drink and don't sell yet. We need more tanks, man. Right now we make Boat and Odo.
I will be drinking this on Wednesday morning then.
I think it's on right now. It was on Sunday when I left. Just tell Pete you want to drink Beach. Anyway, it'll come out someday. When we have tanks, it'll come out. I got to solve for tanks. Tanks are my issue.
How's that expansion coming, by the way?
You're an asshole. For those of you following the saga of Carton Brewing's expansion, three design phases later, we built a fence.
Built a fence to start
the construction, broke the ground underneath, and found a tank that wasn't supposed to be there. That a ground survey with sonar said wasn't there. And the minute we broke ground, we found it. So now we've got to remove it to make sure it doesn't need remediation. So,
sonar, I think you mean ground penetrating radar. But
I thought it was sound.
Same thing, Justin.
No, radar is different than sonar, and I believe it was sonar. I believe they were sending sound waves down.
Maybe. I don't know.
Whatever they use in that movie, Tremors.
That's right. Exactly. All right, so let's talk about this beer. So it's a citrus hoppy IPA, right? It's
yeah. I mean,
again, simple. I don't think it's showing me a ton, but it's making me happy with
it's
what
delicious,
it's
delicious, right? I think it's
really not
nice.
Slutty. It's a pretty girl next door.
I like that it's different from anything else that I've had recently.
This is like the Winnie Cooper of current IPAs.
Yeah, it's the nerdy girl next door that everybody's afraid to approach. And
do you think some
you're well
listeners
rewarded
might not
when
know
do.
Who Winnie Cooper is?
Well, they have Google, right, Brian?
Yeah.
All right, so we're not going to say anything else about Winnie Cooper.
Winnie Cooper is a next door neighbor on a TV show called The Wonder Years. And I'm an old man. But she's that girl next to you. You have a crush on that you should have married, and she grows up to go to Harvard and become a PhD in physics, right?
Don't remember that, but yeah.
No, not in the show. The real actress.
Oh, she actually did
like a Harvard PhD.
Maybe.
I think. I could be wrong.
And Fred Savage is just doing some crazy fucking
crappy TV show on.
Dude, whatever. We're not here to judge sitcom actors. I was trying to point out that this isn't the drunk girl at the party changing the music, dimming the lights, and shouting at the top of her lungs,
no.
Making sure everybody's a good time.
This is the girl with glasses in the corner.
You keep going back to have a beer with while you try to figure out which other girl you're going to try to bag. is that fair?
Yeah, it's somewhat fair.
So this would be the beer I drank while talking to that girl in high school.
These are the IPAs that everybody's forgetting about these days because they're too busy.
No, I think we're going to find out this was made by somebody and taken far too seriously by other people because it's fruity.
I snuck a peek at the bottle.
All right, well, fuck you. I'm telling you, I think this is one of those ones certain people mistake as juicy and get wicked turgid about. And it's just a nice, fruity, hopped, good IPA with real bitterness, fun to drink. I would drink a ton of these.
You just said half the name of the brewery right there.
Turgid?
Yeah.
Wicked.
Turgid.
Turgid. This brewing. Is from Wicked Weed Brewing in Asheville, North Carolina. This is Freak of Nature Double IPA.
Right on. Yeah, that's exactly what it should be. Do they tell us the hops?
I can read the description, which is kind of long-winded, but yeah.
Well, whatever. Dude, I like long-winded descriptions. Have you ever seen a carton can?
Have you seen a Wicked Weed bottle?
I write a shit ton on the side of a carton can.
All right. They say the Freak is our San Francisco-inspired hoppy monster. At 8.4% ABV and who knows how many IBUs, this beer is our shrine to the hop.
Well, they know how many IBUs. It's math. It's not a...
Absurd amounts of all the big West Coast hops give this beer
so
it's citrusy,
Simcoe,
weedy,
Simcoe citrus game. Go on.
And big, dank hop flavor. Drinking this beer is like stuffing your face into a bag of fresh hops while eating a tangerine. There's your orange thing.
Nailed the I said tangerine was the first word I said.
Maybe.
Boom.
We dry hop with 48 pounds per batch, or over 3 pounds of hops per barrel. Is that a lot?
No. Boat uses 4.5 pounds per barrel.
And following with the classic style of West Coast double, sugar plays a big part in creating this dry and minimally
right,
bitter
so
double IPA.
So it's a Pliny. That's what they mean by San Francisco.
Pliny clone, yeah. That's
it's
a good,
a Pliny clone.
Yeah. The Freak is particularly pineable. That's a new word I haven't
pint-able?
Heard. Pintable for the style. Crushable or drinkable in this pint volume.
No, I get it.
So if you dare enter, we
welcome
you to
the crush pints
show.
Of a double. What's the ABV?
8.4.
Yeah, so you shouldn't crush 4 pints of this. This is the kind of beer that made me make Boat.
Right, yeah.
Right? This is exactly why, because I would crush 10 of these and then almost sleep on a couch.
My first Pliny the Elder was in a pint.
If I drank 4 of these, I would be, yeah. What is Pliny? Like
7 something?
Yeah. But
let's Google
it. But I get it. It's definitely a great beer. The only thing I have against it is that it says pintable as if you're going to go pint after pint on an 8.4 beer. And the truth is, the only reason I'm so defensive is we all know I would, and we all know that's going to go poorly.
Pliny comes in as at 8 on a dot.
Right, it's either. Okay. Well, that's a good beer.
The sugar makes total sense, right? Because that's the dextrose, that's why it's sweet, and that's why the grapefruit. All right, so allow me to explain a tasting thing while we play these games. Boat doesn't actually taste like grapefruit. Boat smells like citrus and tastes bitter. So your brain takes the smells of citrus and the feeling on your tongue of bitter and equates it to what it knows, which is grapefruit. This one smells like citrus and tastes sweeter because of the dextrose. So that's the conversion to tangerines or oranges, right? Pithy and bitter citrus, but with some sweetness. So that turns the same hop feeling from grapefruit to orange. So there's your
or tangerine, they say.
Well, I said tangerine, but yeah, that's just oranges, right? It's just a little more.
Yeah, what is the difference?
Less sweet. Tangerines are a little less sweet, right? They're a little more acidic, a little less sweet than an orange.
Or yeah, and a little smaller. Yeah.
A lot less likely to have that dry, mealy pill structure that oranges have right, when you buy them at the supermarket.
Yeah.
All right, so we also put something on Facebook, Face Libro.
Bert Hurt.
Which somebody said something about. So they put up a very excite about the upcoming episode, and I said, hey, we don't have a guest. Tell us what to talk about. And they said...
This is from Justin B.
Justin Bragg. Oh, my God.
Do you know him?
No, I don't know him, but this is like the Canterbury Tales right now.
Dude, you're literally acting like a seventh grader that doesn't want to read a book. Stop. These are people that like listening to us that we talk to. They can write as much as they want. And if they say something wrong, we all know I will attack them for it. Let it be read.
Plus, he has a dig at me, not at you, Brian. So
does he dig at you? Does he say it's going to be hard to read?
Thank you, Justin.
He said, have Jay Kennedy read out the long ones.
Come on, Jay Kennedy, for real.
Okay, so he's saying, if we're talking Untappd, I know a good number of beer groups that have some lively discussions about how they approach rating on there. To rate or not to rate. We kind of talked about this in the last episode. What would What would be most useful to the brewer in this regard? I think this has been hashed out on the show, though, before.
It definitely has, but I think I can encapsulate it. For me, the brewer, Augie Carton, of Carton Brewing, I see Untappd as a free... what's it called when they put people in a room and make them...
Focus group.
Focus group. I see it as a free focus group. The beauty of Untappd to me is there's 10% of Untappd people who take it too seriously and think their reviews really matter and count, and there's 10% of people who are literally just trolling the world with, this sour beer tastes sour, or this lager beer tastes lagerier.
Do they a Yelp thing where they weight certain reviews over others?
I don't think so. I believe
like certain users are elite, or
you only get not at all.
Okay,
you only get one. You only get one review per beer. Like if you give Boat 5 stars, which I do because it's the best beer in the world. If I check into it 1,000 times or once, it's 1 5-star review from me for Boat.
I see. Okay.
If you give it 2 and move it to 3, it's now a 3 for you. It's not a 2.5.
I see. Okay.
But I think it's just a sample of everything. No stars does not count, although it used to when I started. Like, I wouldn't have given Boat any stars if no stars didn't count against it. But Carton started when Untappd was new, and no stars was 0. Now no stars is nothing.
I see.
So now if you want to hurt a beer, you give it 1/4. If you just don't want to do it. But the truth is, what I like about it is the middle part, the 80%, the bell curve of Untappd, are people out drinking, getting a beer at a bar, at a store with a group of friends, sipping it and reacting to it. And I feel like that's very important data for someone like me who wants to make beers.
But what if they're 10 beers in and their palates are wrecked?
But still, you can see that, right? If somebody gives you a shit rating and you just click that person's name, you can see this is their 10th in a row. So you can discount it accordingly. Like, I don't think anybody's ever said, well,
But they can't factor that into the data, though.
They can't, but you can as the brewer. He's asking what the brewers use it for and how it can be used. I'm telling you what I do. If I see a guy give like an irresponsible like 1.5-star rating and doesn't write any douchey comment, you know, because usually the douchey comments you can read through and you know where their head was at. But you know, you can just check the stars and be like, oh, it was his 10th of the night, or oh Jesus, he had a sour right before it, or oh wait, he followed a double IPA with Boat, he doesn't think it's very hoppy. That all makes sense. So it's a great tool for figuring out how people are reacting. I've used it before for, you know, like when I see one weekend go bad, I send my guys to go clean our line at that bar. What?
Oh. Are we good?
I think we're okay. Yeah, I'll remind you were in the middle of a lightning storm, and that was a lightning strike. That might have been some kind of circuit thing. If we went away, sorry, we'll never see you again.
Looks like we're still recording.
We're good.
Anyway, but if I see it went badly on one night, wait, still beer there. if I see it went bad on one night, I know we've got a bartender that's saying bad shit about our beer when they serve it. And you can solve all those problems. And I see it as a great asset for that. But no, I don't take any rating seriously. There's nobody that rates on Untappd where I'm like, oh, so-and-so thinks we're a five-star beer.
What about Rate Beer or Beer Advocate? Do you look at individual
reviewers?
I think
we've talked about Rate Beer before. Rate Beer makes zero sense to me.
You don't like the second style?
I just don't
review.
Understand it, right? Yeah. Like the only beer Carton Brewing makes that is two style is 077. And it's got something like a 90... so let's say it's got 90s for opinion and like 72 for style. And there's such a disconnect in my head and how that can't be, right? If we make any beer that is an American double IPA two style, it's Odo. That's mm-hmm. what we make.
Yeah.
So for it to be well-liked but not be the style just confuses me. And since I can't make any sense of it because it's clearly stupid... I just have never gone any further with
that. We're going to get Joe Tucker on the show. He's the guy that runs
Well, I'd love to talk to him. I'd love to have him explain it to me and the Thieves. I'm sure the Thieves would like to use it.
He actually does a radio show in Santa Rosa, California. Yeah.
It's a pretty popular site, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people use it, so it should be used. And then Beer Advocate. Beer Advocate's the funniest to me because I'm a wine guy, and the Wine Advocate was a big point of contention in the early aughts in wine because...
Is that Parker?
The Wine Advocate was one guy's palate, and he managed to change the way a lot of people bought wine because people were just taking his ratings and buying the wines he liked. So people that wanted to sell at those premium prices started crafting their wines to his palate.
Right.
And he basically destroyed California because everybody started making Coca-Cola wines on broccoli farms.
And now there's things that say, I don't drink 100-point wines. And
We've all said it. Yeah. Like I've literally changed sommeliers because they suggested 100-point Parker wine to me. I'm like, can you send somebody else over? But it's fine. Bob Parker's a great taster with a very specific palate that is very juvenile. If he was a beer drinker, he'd be the double IPA Brandy Barrel Stout guy.
Yeah.
That's exactly who he'd be. And therefore, it worked for the general people. What's funny is Beer Advocate, the Alstroms don't give themselves any weight or merit. The score is the group score. What you learn is because the newer tasters of that experience are the ones that go the most angry and go the most percent deviation, they have the most control over, you know, childish beers get the highest ratings. And that's including my beers. My childish ones are the highest rated. But, you know, it's nice to know people like it. I care much more for Beer Advocate if you wrote something, I care what you think. Because that's where people think about what they tasted and say nice things or bad things. And you can take that critique or praise constructively.
Yeah.
Just giving it numbers on Beer Advocate is the biggest fucking waste of time. But Untappd, I think, is great because most people aren't thinking when they review Untappd. They're reacting. On Beer Advocate, they believe they've given it some concern. There are the assholes on Beer Advocate who rate beers at beer events in a tent.
Right, where they get a two-ounce pour.
Which is just the dopiest thing in the world.
Like, and I'm sure people do that on Untappd, too.
But that's what Untappd's for, right? It's the right venue for, I thought this was good, I thought this was bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of good, I thought it was kind of bad, right? Untappd is when somebody gives you a poll that says very much... somewhat satisfactory, very little, you know, somewhat. Beer Advocate should do themselves a favor and just shut down the ratings at their own events because I was checking out friends' beers at their
last beer festival.
No, the All American Beer Festival they did, and people whose beers I know and like got slaughtered where they didn't deserve it, and others got praised where they didn't deserve it because drunk guys half an hour in were being part of the Beer Advocate zeitgeist, and ultimately. That beer will always be polluted by those ratings.
Yeah.
But I don't make American craft beer yet, so I don't get to go to that one. I just do extreme because everything I make is stupid.
All right, we got another part of this question. Or it's kind of a statement. He says, What are the underrepresented styles in the American craft beer scene? In general, underrepresented styles.
None.
Pilsner.
You're wrong.
I think Pilsner is on the rise for sure.
You're all wrong. Nothing is underrepresented.
Rauch beer.
For all beers.
Rauch beer, that's a good one.
You can find a Rauch beer. If you want you can a Rauch find beer, them, but you can find it. But that's how it should be, right? The thing is, for all beers, mainstream. Freshness matters. Right?
I hope they never come mainstream.
Enough people make every style that if you want that style, you can find it. Now, I may be having an ethnocentric New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia approach, but if I want... There's no beer style I've wanted that I couldn't track down in a couple easy moves. If too many people make a Rausch beer, stale Rausch beers are out there, and nobody benefits from that. So everything is exactly made to what the market can support. More people drink IPAs, IPAs want to be drunk fresh. More people make IPAs, more IPAs get drunk fresh. Less people want to drink lagers, we can still get them. We've talked about 50 lagers in the last couple weeks. I've had a Threes lager, I've had my lager, I've had Strumke's lager. Like,
the Vale
lager? We just had a child support from
the Vale brewery.
The Vale. That was fucking dynamite. So people are making them. You can get them if you want them. But if you're a guy who wants a Pilsner, you should be grateful that they're harder to find, because that means they're selling when they come out, right? Like, you don't want them sitting on shelves available all the time. That's you know, that's what happens to the great beers. Like, Sierra Nevada.
That's one way to look at it.
Sierra Nevada is a nervous purchase these days because people pass it by, even though it's the most wonderful pale in the world, right? They should make less Sierra Nevada. It should sell out every time it comes out. They've got enough other beers people want to buy. So that's how beer works. If there's going to be 7, 8, 10, 12,000 breweries in America, everybody should make enough of the beer that it sells out. And if you made something that didn't sell out, you shouldn't make it as often.
Is there a style that you wish someone would make, like, that's more like readily available?
Boat. Everybody should make more boat.
So the Kolsch style of beer.
It's not Kolsch. Boat is the anti-Kolsch.
Nobody makes Kolsch.
Kolsch is... Riesdorf is available at 9 out of 10 restaurants
that's
in
from
New York City.
All right, well, that's from them, but what about everybody else?
Yeah, Kolsch's are everywhere, I think.
Kolsch's are everywhere,
they're
bro.
They're not everywhere.
And just to be clear, because I use a Kolsch yeast does not make my beer a Kolsch. My beer is cloudy, overly bitter, literally... pale yellow, like it's everything a Kolsch isn't. Kolsch's are golden, crystal clear, lightly hopped, super drinkable. We just use their yeast because it works for our beer.
And you never see them anywhere. Captain Lawrence just is there.
Out your fucking mind.
Go out more, Brian.
I bet you there's a Kolsch out here if you go ask.
I think there is. Yeah.
I only drink beers that come directly off can lines.
All right, we got another question.
That's how fresh you are. Do you even put the cans on, or you just drink it like it's a glass?
I just drink it.
You
like
don't
it's a
lit
glass.
Them. You're like, yeah, saved that one.
Pull me off one from the filler hand.
All right, one more aspect to this question.
This is a good question. Who's this, Justin?
Justin B. Bragg.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, man. I'm always interested in the law aspects of things. This one maybe, he has something about Hall, but we won't ask Hall since he's not here.
Hey, Hall, what do you think? Thanks, Hall.
This one may be directed more at Augie, but what are the laws that make it more difficult to operate your business successfully? What can we as beer aficionados do to help change them to create a better beer scene, a more mature beer scene? What makes your life hard, and what can we do to...
Has anybody watched Boardwalk Empire?
Nope.
Have you ever watched Boardwalk Empire?
I've seen episodes.
Thieves, do you watch Boardwalk Empire? The star character of Boardwalk Empire is a guy named Nookie Thompson.
Is he the guy from The Wire?
No. It's Steve Buscemi. He's an actor that's been in a couple films.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay. So it's Buscemi plays Nookie Thompson. And Nookie Thompson was an actual Atlantic City politician and the biggest bootlegger in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and some say parts of the East Coast. It's a show about the politics of America, especially New Jersey, into and coming out of Prohibition, and about the mob and the gangs related. And the simple truth is, the laws in our state, the franchise laws in our state, were written by those people to protect their right to bootleg legally liquor. So everything was written to protect the distributors from ever having competition, because the distributors at the time were the bootlegging politicians. And there are corrupt laws that keep us enslaved to, like, the laws stay that way because the only people that can truly profit from liquor in New Jersey are the distributors. They profit. They've kept laws the same. And they now cry the same franchise things as the car dealerships in New Jersey. Like, you want to buy a car in New Jersey, you have to take a day off from work because car dealerships aren't open on Sunday. Because all car dealerships agreed amongst themselves, we all won't be open on Sunday, so there'll be no competition, and that way we can all have Sundays off. So you can't legally, within the rules of New Jersey cars, sell a car on Sunday. So if you're a guy with a job...
But what about Saturday?
Your children are still young. Saturdays aren't a day you do things. Like, you do things with kids.
Don't own a car, so.
But you can't run to your local car dealership after brunch on Sunday and buy a car. They are all closed. And when Tesla tried to be open on Sunday, Christie made them illegal in New Jersey because it's bad competition for our franchises. Now here's the thing: our tax money has kept all of those car makers alive and their franchise people alive for hundreds of years. And they've all colluded to say we won't be open on Sundays. Well, that's how the five or six distributors in New Jersey work. We'll only sell this much, and they all deal with each other, and that's fine, and there's set markups, and there's no competition. And if you give them the rights to your product, you can't change them. You can't say, I need you to work harder, or I'm going to change what I'm doing. And if you say that out loud, they say, we employ 50 people, and I say I employ 15, you know what I mean? And somehow, because they've got money, the laws stay their way. But that's the worst law in New Jersey, is that a little guy who commits to a distributorship has no option but to have them sell your product their way. You have no input on how your product gets to market. And it's just...
Is there anything consumers can do to...
Write your senators and say, fix franchise laws in New Jersey. It's the problem, but that's all you can do. Nobody cares. And even if you write your senators are going to get a letter from you and a check from the distributors and the car dealerships and the restaurant association and everybody that's got a vested interest. There's a name for it. It's called rent-seeking or something. When somebody that has a political power... lobbies for laws, like, it's very bad for the American economy at the moment, because you'll have companies like Ford that could be spending $30 million a year in innovating a new car that's better than a Tesla, but instead they spend $30 million a year in lobbying,
right,
to make things...
What
exactly
was that term again?
Rent seeking is the rent name. You can look it up.
Okay.
Look, actually, Wikipedia rent seeking while I talk. But so it's rent seeking, right? Everybody, instead of distributors getting better at their job and streamlining things and making things more efficient and making things better and finding the right pricing where things move and fresh beer moves and the consumer gets fresh beer and the guy at the store makes fair profit and they make fair profit and the brewers make fair profit, they spend their money rent seeking politicians. And that's just how politics work, and that's what we're all working on fixing. So get out there and fix it.
Okay.
Did you find rent seeking?
excuse me. Not yet. My internet just dropped out.
Well,
but we got a beer in front of us, so let's talk about this.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Nicely sour, lactose sour. Might even just be a simple kettle sour. Nice lemony, green apple-y, some wheat in there. You got any fruit on it there, Cass?
I'm almost done with it.
So you liked it.
I got more.
Yeah. Fill them up. But don't let them see the bottle, dude.
I won't.
Remind me next time before we record. I found these Sock Monkey wine bottle covers. They're like knitted. But I figured they'd be perfect for most of the bottles and some of the cans I get here to obscure it without you having to like foil it and duct tape it.
I too have something like that.
But I got three Sock Monkey hand-knitted wine covers.
Koozies? They're essentially koozies.
No, they're bottle covers.
Right,
they're meant to be cute wine gift bags. But since they're like knitted by an old lady, like they stretch, so it'll completely obscure it. Bless you. That's that. So back to the twits. We have...
We're not going to talk about the beer.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we were supposed to do.
But I talked about it. It's kind of simple, right?
It is very simple.
There's not a lot going on. It's a very simple sour.
It's bright, refreshing.
It's bright. It tastes fresh. Like, I believe it's new. It's not old lacto. It's new lacto.
East Coast or West Coast?
You're not... I know you're new to the game, but you can't ask
You can't
shit.
Ask these questions.
You talk about what it is. You're not guessing what it is. You're talking about what it is.
Do you guys want more time with it, or should we talk about it now?
No, I want to get there. I've got some salt on it, so it's okay. Probably goes, right? I'm not getting any
It's not any of the stuff you're saying.
I definitely
it's
not get sour? Any salt.
No, you don't get salt on the finish?
No.
It's super stony on the finish.
It's a sour, but
it's definitely a lacto sour.
It's not a kettle sour.
It's a lacto sour.
There's probably lactobacillus in this. Yes.
That's what I'm but that's how you kettle sour. A kettle sour
this
is just
not,
lacto.
This is not a kettle sour beer. This is properly infected. Maybe in a right. barrel.
Super pretty. I like it.
It's probably the perfect drink
after the rain
thunderstorm.
It's gonna wash the rain
I see
out.
Blue sky.
It's fucking humid outside.
It's going to be more humid now.
All right, yeah. So you're exactly right on the rinse. I think that's what the term is.
What is it?
Hold on, let me... Fuck.
Tell us what rent-seeking is so we all know what to be mad at, what to yell at our politicians
Rent-seeking
about.
Is the use of resources of a company, an organization, or individual to obtain economic growth from others without reciprocating any benefits to society through wealth creation.
Yeah. So that's
yeah, exactly.
It's instead of taking your... It's all the money you spend lobbying instead of innovating.
Yeah.
If all the American companies that lobby Congress to make sure nothing changes for them, if the fucking Koch brothers took all the money they spent trying to
right.
get laws passed that kept their oil dirty and tried to make their oil better and got into fracking and all that, they'd be exponentially richer than they are by wasting the money on Tea Party donations.
Right.
It's just poor thinking. It's always second-generation thinking. It's guys like the Koch brothers who inherited tons of money and want to make sure that money doesn't go away.
As investment... Sorry, we're getting way off topic here.
No,
but
sorry, but that's what it is. But it's the same. It's the problem with politics, right? Because the Koch brothers will dump millions of dollars in politics instead of millions of dollars of innovating their business. And had they put all that money in innovating their business, they'd be profitable because they wouldn't be trying to keep the market up for shit nobody wants to buy anymore. They'd be selling the things people want to buy. It's just how it's supposed to work, and it's not how it works when the government gets involved. Libertarian Augie has spoken. Feel my Johnson.
Anyway, I was reading a profile of him on the way over here, by the way.
Gary Feel the Johnson Johnson.
I voted for him last election when nobody knew who he was.
Stop it.
He did not run the last election, did he?
He did. He was he's dude. All right, stop, because that'll go the wrong way.
All right.
Trust that.
What are we drinking?
We tend to be libertarian here on Steal This Beer. How about we just leave
some
it
of
that?
Them tend to be libertarian.
All right. You'd rather,
what are we drinking?
You'd rather let the government misspend our money on rent seeking? Good for you, Justin. Well done, sir. Anyway, so what are well that not what are we drinking? Where are we drinking it? I'm drinking this for the wife. This is the exact beer that makes the wife happy. We've talked about that a million times. This is the beer that if I open for her, I get to drink whatever I want to drink for the rest of the night. So I'll have one of these and I'll move on and she'll drink the rest. I like it. I like that it's not hot. I like that it's just clean and lemony.
Yeah, it seems super drinkable and nicely tart. This is my first time having this beer, so I don't know it.
Where are you drinking a beer, Rizzle?
On my deck with a book.
Fair enough.
On a very, very hot day.
All right, what is this beer we're drinking? Can people get it, or did you bring away?
You probably can't get it very easily, but it's not, like, super hot. It's from a brewery in Virginia Beach, Virginia, called Reaver Beach.
Raver?
Reaver, R-E-A.
Oh, Raver.
All
right, that's
like
better.
Raver with an E in front of the A. All
right.
And it is a... it says ale fermented in oak barrels, but it's a Solera method beer. Which, Augie, I'm sure you know what Solera method is.
I know how brewers misuse Solera method, and I know what the Solera method is.
So tell us what the Solera method is.
Well, the real Solera method
yes.
is how you make sherry.
Right.
And it's very easy to envision as a pyramid. So what you do is imagine your pyramid with 10 barrels on the bottom, then 8. Then however many would go on top, 8,
4, or 7, or 6, or something.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So 8, 4, 6, 2.
And what you're doing when you're aging sherries is you're oxidizing them. You're actually trying to get them oxidized. So what you do is you fill the whole bottom barrels fresh, new. Then, the next year when you have new juice, you move everything from the bottom barrels. No, because that's not
how Solera works. Okay, so you're talking about...
I'm talking about a real Solera is.
Okay.
All right. So then you take everything that's been in the bottom barrels and you move it up to the second barrels. And when they're full, you now put new juice on top of the bottom barrels. Then you move up. So you have one barrel at top. Right?
And that's
so this is Solera.
Yeah.
That's the finished beer at the end of its year. You empty it and then you refill up. So what you have at the bottom level is probably 16 to 20 years older than the top level. But it's a constant mix of all 16 years through evaporation, angel share, and oxidization. And you have this one thing that's everything, and you have fresh juice moving up every time. The Solera method in brewing is a lot more like a sourdough starter, where you just keep
which is infinitely less sexy.
You just mix whatever you want. You're like, it started sour, and I added
more. So you don't think these guys are using...
They're absolutely not.
Really?
They're putting new beer on old sour beer and keeping it alive and getting it going, and it makes sense, but it's not a Solera.
But it's not that pyramid
scheme. A Solera is a thing. Yeah, a Solera is a thing, and brewers misuse Solera.
We should ask, or if anyone knows the folks at Reaver Beach.
Have them reach out to us. They should come. But they're using that. If you read, there's a very good book written about sour beers called something like Sour Beers that the Brewers Administration put it out. But he talks about...
Michael Tomsmeyer, I think is his name.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But,
the American Sour Beer book.
Yep.
That.
The book that you had all your brewers read.
Well, I give all those books to all my brewers. Every time they write a book, I give it to all my brewers. It's one of the perks of working for Carton. You have to get smarter or I'm going to fire you.
And he got all the big houses.
Got all the big houses talking. One of the houses there talks about his Solera method, which is definitely how this got coined for American brewing. And it's not like a Solera, but it's not a Solera. A Solera is a thing, and it's not what brewers are doing. But just like Cicerone is a guide and not a beer server, Americans, you know, we liberally use European terms to make it sound better than I'm mixing old with new, which I think is what the American Solera beer method is I'm mixing old with new.
But that's more like a traditional, like Goose is a blend of...
No, Goose is blending
1, 2, and 3 year old beer.
1, 2, 3 through 7 through 14 year old beer for a house kind of flavor, right? Like the thing Gooses are most comparable to are non-vintage champagne, where you keep everything around and you try to mix a similar flavor.
Right, but I'm saying the
time.
Definition that you're giving to what these guys are doing is more like Goose than Solera.
But what I'm saying is what they're doing is just mixing an older beer. It can change.
Right.
Each Solera can be different.
Yeah.
You're sort of saying in a properly mixed lambic booze, you're going for a house flavor. So you're picking different amounts every time, right? You're not letting nature do its thing and topping up on empty or emptying down and filling. You're picking 10% from barrel A,
right.
20% from barrel B, and you're blending to make a perfect... One is mixing, one is blending.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right. So that's the difference there. All right, so we have a letter.
It's a really nice beer, though.
I love it. I'm super... I think I only said nice things about it, right? I'm not mad at it. Somebody has to drink. I said I'm not mad at it. Somebody has to drink.
So when I said we had a letter, I was kind of joking, but...
You're the worst, Burr.
Hold on 1 second. So someone wrote us and said, "Great job, very informative."
Thank you.
That's it.
Awesome. That's Brian's favorite letter ever.
Best letter ever.
Gold star letter.
Find me at Barcade. I'll buy you a beer.
All right. So here's the last one. This is a tweet response. I will remind you the tweet question was...
what do you want us to talk about?
No, but because I don't understand. You're going to have to read this because...
Because I made your phone too bright so you could read.
Yeah, it's burning my eyes out. A possible suggestion for letters, got it from mentalfloss.com. So I don't know what the hell this is, but it's... You just try to read it. See what it says.
The circle
thing? If it makes any sense. I don't know.
The fuck?
Right? See, I don't speak Twitter.
A contraband letter.
A contraband letter. What letter should we make it? B? Okay, we're going to call you Ryan from now on, Cass. We've made B a contraband letter.
I have no idea.
All right, let it go.
Give it to me.
I don't understand this.
No, wait, there's no way
you... There's nothing to read?
It's a picture of something with something circled. It didn't make sense to me. That's why I passed it. But
if
my favorite hipster doesn't speak it, nobody speaks it.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Dear Keith, please clarify what the hell you sent. Yeah. Thank you.
Keith, what the hell was that about?
Thanks for listening.
Nice. Look at you being all polite. Good move.
I actually have a comment on Instagram, if you'd like to read it, from my comment that we put up earlier. I'll let Kennedy read it.
Oh, actually, this is great. So this is the last thing we'll talk about, because I felt like... So we got all jammed up and rushed at the end of the episode with the guys from Peekskill. Not Peekskill.
Newburgh,
the other town up there. And we just released that episode, and Brian tweeted out, find out why we're so giddy about this bottle of black chocolate stout on this week's episode. And Bill Malloy wrote back, if it's Brooklyn Chocolate Stout, we know Augie is there. And it was. It was Brooklyn Chocolate Stout from, I think, 2003 or 2005?
2003, 2002 or something.
Was that right?
I think it was like 2003, yeah.
So it came at the end, and we got all rushed, and we got excited, and we didn't give it the proper respect it deserved.
I feel like we did.
I got to tell you, man, it was... Well, we talked about what it tasted like. We were excited, and I remember I identified it as old, but didn't know what it was. But I got to tell you, he brought two of them. They were well-stored, and they were ballpark 12 to 14 years old. And they were just wonderful beers, and they were everything somebody... who doesn't want to age beers would poo-poo in an aged beer. There was definitely some soy sauce to it. There was definitely these weird characters, but on the whole, it was interesting and it was fascinating, and every sip was cool. And if you go back to that Newburgh episode, you'll hear us talk about what we were tasting before we knew what it was. But you also know that I talk about this beer often as one I hold pretty old. I've never got anything that old. I think it's like a first or second generation chocolate stout. And...
I think that beer has been made since the 90s, though.
It was the first beer Garrett made when he got there. So that's the date. Whenever Garrett starts, that's the beer Garrett brings to Brooklyn. And again, I'll remind you the funny thing about Brooklyn's chocolate stout is there's no chocolate in it. It's a real chocolate stout, and that the malts are roasted chocolate color. So it ages very well because a chocolate stout wouldn't. The chocolate would get all alkaline and fuck up everything. But... It was pretty, but it was pretty for what it had become. If I handed it to you and said it's a chocolate stout, you'd have reacted poorly to it.
Right.
Because it didn't taste chocolatey, and it wasn't rich, and it wasn't, you know, all like flabby and fun. But man, it was a gorgeous thing to drink, and I don't think we ever gave it the... come back to it the way I hope we do on this show, where we talk about the beauty of what things are and where they may go and what they can be. And I thought that was a great example. And I totally understand if you're a guy that wants your fucking Dirklerd, that 2003 is not the beer for you. But if you're somebody who wants to learn it, if you're somebody... All right, so that'll be... We'll end it here just because we've gotten lucky through
us
two of those. But that's the Cosmo saying, shush, Augie.
We got one more thing to say.
All right, what do you got?
Someone writes into us on Instagram and says... I kind of hope Augie is gone and John Hall isn't. That would be a very interesting episode.
You got to tell him the precedence of the beginning of the post. So.
Wait, I don't know what that is, though, Brian.
Oh, it doesn't say? Oh, there you go.
Oh, he said only three of us today. And he said, I kind of hope Augie's gone and John isn't.
I said, hashtag who's missing. Usually Hall's missing, but I tagged him. No, I tagged him there.
So maybe Hall will do one. So will you guys do one with Hall without me? Let's do that.
Will you allow it?
So I don't give a fuck.
Uh-oh. We have done... episodes missing everyone but you, Augie. So.
I know.
I've been here for everyone except for the episodes in Portland.
Damn.
That's true, too.
You guys, how many people want an all-Hall, all-the-time episode? I think we could
do
that.
They might have that, too.
You guys could get though. Hall to do that, right? Yeah. Like, I would happily take a Monday off. I would. I feel bad. I feel like we told people we'd be here in 4 or 5 on Monday, so here we are. But,
Anyway.
What a weird end. But yeah, do a Hall episode. Let's see what he talks about. I want to hear where Hall gets. You guys will get Hall wasted, though. That's going to go terribly.
Yeah.
You guys are going to get Hall all drunk, like three beer Johnny.
We're not going to get Hall drunk. Hall's going to get Hall drunk on two beers.
Yeah, but you two are going to encourage it.
It's only going to be one episode, and that's it.
Man, he's going to walk home.
That'll be a big deal. So do that. That'll be fun. All right, so advice taken. Who said that?
Kevin something, I think.
Heavy username on Instagram. Heavy Spaghetti.
All right, Heavy Spaghetti. You got it.
Code Reed. And judging from his Instagram account, he drinks a lot of hype beer. Monkey yeah. Chase the Weasel, Canteon.
Oh, that's not a hype beer.
Burial Beers, Tired Hands Beers, Fiddlehead. He dressed up like Pee Wee Herman for Halloween, it looks like.
I think he's just from around here, right? Aren't those all beers we all drink?
He's got a can. Yeah. He's an East Coast native for sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, cool. And Heavy we will Spaghetti. Get you an all-hall episode, Heavy Spaghetti. But if it sucks, it's on you.
Yeah,
right? No, so bad. What's his Instagram?
Heavy Spaghetti. All right. Heavy Spaghetti.
All right, thieves. If the all-hall episode is bad, you don't write us at
stillthespearpodcast@gmail.com
or on Twitter at
Still the Spear.
Or on Facebook at
Still the Spear.
Or on Instagram at
Still the Spear.
Or
Untapped
at
I think Still the Spear.
That's right. You write at Heavy Spaghetti. All right, man. Well, thank you guys. We hope you had fun. We will have brewers or writers or, I don't know, missing children up from posters in breweries on the next episode. Thanks for listening. Get at us. Let us know what you think.